Welcome into the talk show, 917. Glad to have you along here. And a usual guest here of the show is in to talk about health topics and just a little bit different ways of treating things, Dr. Brandon Breening. Good morning. Thanks for being back.
Good
Appreciate
morning.
It. Yes, indeedy. And the topic we're talking about today is one that is on a lot of people's minds nationally, but especially locally, based on the age of the population, and that's Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's, yeah. A couple of different articles coming out about Alzheimer's. And one of them was about early signs. And one of the early signs, and they've known this sign for a while, but they didn't know kind of why. And so the article was looking into why this was happening. But one of the early signs of Alzheimer's is a decrease in your ability to smell well. Now, just because your smell has decreased doesn't mean you're necessarily 100% going to get Alzheimer's, right? You can have chronic sinus problems. You can have other problems that can cause this. So I don't want people to be like, oh my gosh, I can't smell. I woke up and I can't smell. This is it. I've got Alzheimer's. No. But it is one of the things that we should be aware about and say, okay, this has happened. It's not getting better. What is there a history of Alzheimer's in my family? If so, well, what can I do to make it better? So anyhow, what they found, it was published in the Journal of Nature Communications. They based the observations on mice and humans. They looked at some brain tissue I like the way this article, so-called PET scanning, that's particle emission tomography.
Right.
I don't know why they call it so-called.
That's what it is.
That's what some people call it. I call it something
okay.
else. But basically what's happening is these brain cells called microglia, immune cells in the brain, the microglia, they're removing a connection between the olfactory bulb, which olfaction is our sense of smell, and a part of the brain called the locus coeruleus. The locus coeruleus is back towards the brain stem, and it regulates lots of things. It regulates cerebral blood flow, sleep-wake cycles, sensory processing. So basically what's happening is, in that sensory processing, is we get the sensation in of the smell. It goes to the olfactory bulb, and then those things from the olfactory bulb, the connection between that and the locus coeruleus, say, okay, this is this, right? This is what we're actually smelling. Kind of refines the thing. But well, so what's happening in this thing is our own body is attacking these cells. And getting rid of them. It's like an autoimmune process, honestly. The reason it does that, what they found, is phosphatidylserine, which is a really good thing. Your brain needs phosphatidylserine. I have a lot of people with brain problems that end up on phosphatidylserine because it just helps their brain to function better. But the phosphatidylserine in these cells, instead of being on the inside, is put on the outside. And the body says, hey, that's not supposed to be like that. Let's trim it up. And so the microglia just go through and eat it. What else did they say? What they talk about is, so since that's an early sign, one of the things that they've been using to treat Alzheimer's is amyloid beta antibodies, that's only effective early on. It's just like anything else, right? I have a child and a wife who are type 1 diabetics. There's a time in their life where they had what was called a honeymoon phase, where they were type 1 diabetic. They were going to end up being type 1 diabetic because the damage was done, but there wasn't enough damage done to their pancreas that they were insulin dependent yet.
Right.
So if we can get to these things before those cells are gone, we can sometimes get that better. So just an interesting thing. If your sense of smell has been bad for a while. And, you know, this is we're talking people in their 40s, 30s, 40s, early 50s.
Right.
That's when this goes. Those people, and, you know, and you're not having chronic sinus infections or something like that that we know is another cause. Well, maybe get in and get that looked at early on, especially, again, if you have that extra sign of the family history. Right. So.
Right. Yeah. And you mentioned the center of the brain that regulates smell. It also regulates other things such as your sleep cycle. I was going to ask, is a disruption in your sleep cycle, is that also a possible sign of Alzheimer's or other things that are regulated by that center of the brain?
Yeah. And it's funny because it, all these basic functions, right? Bowel movements are a sign of, can be an early sign, right? Not being constipated for weeks with no reason. Again, could be something else. Restless leg, early sign, because your body just can't, it's not regulating itself the way it's supposed to because it doesn't know what's going on. So it's not getting the signals back and the communication back and forth. You know, the thing that being on the radio, when I talk about signals going back and forth, I usually use a radio example to get to people because basically what's happening in your body is the signals are getting through, but you're not getting the whole thing. So let's say you're far out from the WTAD listening zone, right? And you drop down into a hill. And instead of hearing what the host is saying, you hear, right?
Right.
So at the beginning, it said John Smith, and then it goes, and then you hear 18 women, right? Well, you know John Smith. You know John Smith is a great guy, and you know that he probably just gave 18 women gifts, and they were talking about it. So you're making that assumption. But let's say John Smith went off the deep end and decided to do something bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't know the difference because you missed the signal, right? So same thing with your brain and what your brain's trying to communicate with. It doesn't get the full information, so it does the best that it can with what it's got.
Right,
so,
right.
And sometimes that, and most of the time that's right, but sometimes it's not. So.
Right, and so that's when these, I guess, you know, malfunctions start to happen.
Yeah, well, the malfunction, it's kind of a vicious circle, right? The malfunctions happen, and then more malfunctions happen because the malfunctions happened, and it just keeps cycling on and on. So, you know, the root cause of any of this, you can blame inflammation for any of this, but why are you inflamed? Right. So are you inflamed because you spend your whole day moving toxic chemicals back and forth? Are you inflamed because you have an allergy to corn and you're a farmer?
Right.
You know, so and you can't just plant beans. I suppose you could, but that wouldn't be great for your land from what I understand. I've learned more about farming in the last 11 years than I ever thought I'd know, just from working with patients.
But right. If you can,
I still know nothing.
Yeah. If you right now, if you can get your hands on some beef cattle, that's the way to go right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So. So that's just part of the vicious cycle with Alzheimer's. I mean, you can, even if you catch it early enough, you can temporarily mitigate some of the symptoms temporarily.
Right, right. Well, and again, too, it, some of the symptoms you're going to keep forever because that damage has been done. But if you can stop it from progressing into the worst-case scenario, then you've done really well. So, which the next article I brought, whenever, I don't know if you want to need to go up to the markets yet or not.
Not yet. We've got some time.
All
you
right.
can get into the second
right.
article
so let's,
here. We've
let's
got
just
time for that. Yeah.
Start on this. So they one of the things that they look at all kinds of things, right? In this case, they looked at lithium to help prevent Alzheimer's disease.
Wow.
So lithium is currently used as a mood stabilizer for people. Bipolar people will often get put on lithium. The lithium they're using is different than the lithium that they have in this study. It's also at much higher doses. And one other thing that I want to caution before I get too far into this is you don't want to lithium can be dangerous, right? You don't want to just, oh, I might have Alzheimer's. Well, let me take a whole bunch of lithium all at once. And that, no, don't. Talk to somebody, for crying out loud.
That's why they first tried it with heroin addicts, and they had to kind of scale back on that for a while because of the side effects.
Yeah. So what they found is, so in early stages of Alzheimer's, again, this was a team out of the Harvard Medical School, published in Nature, found that lithium loss in the brain is one of the earliest changes leading to Alzheimer's. So again, getting to cause, right? There wasn't enough lithium, so the brain couldn't do. And so many diseases that we have are like that. People thought scurvy was a disease that you caught, was an infection. But it turned out scurvy was just, we didn't have enough vitamin C to get going. And, you know, we think that scurvy doesn't exist, but I can tell you people that their gums bleed very easily. Maybe a little vitamin C, just check, right? Some of these easy things. And the nice thing about vitamin C, unlike lithium, is if you take too much vitamin C, you just pee it out. You're not going to hurt yourself. I suppose if you take too much vitamin C, you might poop it out too.
Yeah.
But so caution there too, but less caution than
the point is your body's going to take what it needs and just dispose of the rest.
Right. So let's see. Lithium gets more reduced because in Alzheimer's, they have these amyloid plaques that build up in the brain, and those actually grab the lithium as it comes in. So the lithium can't get to where it needs to get to.
And the plaque is a hardened part of the brain, and it's basically just like the plaque on your teeth. It's kind of the same thing, but it's up in your brain and your synapses.
Right. So early stage dementia, it binds to lithium. So they gave them lithium orotate. I almost said orate, but it's not lithium to talk about.
right?
Orotate. And not only did it actually reversed Alzheimer's pathology. It prevented brain cell damage and restored memory in some of these people. So
Again, that's an early stage.
Early stage, yeah.
Right.
Lithium affected 1/1000th of the dose of what you would give for somebody who has bipolar. So, and this is in mice that they did this. They haven't had a lot of human trials yet. So, again, caution.
Right. That is promising, though. That sounds very promising.
And lithium is easy. You can get, I'm pretty sure, I forgot to look, but I had looked at one point for someone. I'm pretty sure you can get that lithium over the counter. I think they sell it as a nutritional supplement for mood stabilization type stuff for lesser degree, or for somebody that doesn't want to do the full amount. But again, that is something that we want to use caution on. We don't want to just go willy-nilly and do out on your own. You want to be with somebody who's tracking that. There are blood tests you can do to see, there are tests you can do to see how much lithium you have, whether you're deficient or not. And that is probably a great place to start. Off the top of my head, I can't tell you what in our diet we could take to have lithium. I don't recommend eating lithium batteries. I'm sure that would cause a lot more problems.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's that's going to cause you a few problems there. So,
The acid alone.
Exactly. So, if you've seen an old battery that's sat for too long and corroded, do you want that in your body?
No, I don't think so. Besides, you probably wouldn't even get to the lithium. You couldn't break down the battery part of the battery, outside shell.
Right, exactly.
Not that you should open up the batteries either. Oh, my gosh. right.
You're just leading us down the path we don't want to go,
yeah,
Doc.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it. So, folks,
stay away from that.
All righty. But for advice like this, and if you want to, for instance, if you know your gums are bleeding easy and you want to get some vitamin C, some high-potency vitamin C, just stop on by and see, right?
That's right. That's right. 1210 North 24th Street, right across from the Reservoir Park, and well, kind of catty corner to the Reservoir Park and the fire station there, so firehouse.
Very good, very good. Always a pleasure talking with you. I always learn something. Thank
appreciate
you.
It. Thank yeah, happy to be here.
Yes, definitely. And we will talk with you again here in a matter of weeks.
I had third Tuesday of the month.
Yes, exactly. So. Exactly.
Which is quicker this time than last time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like right away, it's a 16th, I think.
So. Yeah.
It'll be here before we know it.
It will be. It will be. Doc, thank you so much. Appreciate it very, very much. We're coming up on 9:33. We come back. We'll take a first look at the commodities market. That's on the way for you here on the talk show on WTAD. We'll get you another commodity update here in about an hour from the Ursa Farmers Co-op. No surprise that feeder cattle continues to climb. 9:37, and time now to check in with our monthly visit with Quincy Police Chief Adam Yates, who is in studio. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Congratulations on the reappointment.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I know you appreciate that. You've been working hard and really earning the trust of the community. And what does something like that official confirmation that we trust you and we want you around for another 3 years. What does that mean for you personally?
Well, the support is always appreciated. You know, you go out every day and try to do the best that you can to build relationships and partnerships and motivate officers and work with the community to address the problems that they want you to fix for them. And, you know, you feel like you're making progress. And sometimes, like any job, you know, two steps forward, one step back. I guess the fact that, with the unanimous council support last night and the unanimous support from the Board of Fire and Police Commission, I know our team at the police department works really hard. So it was humbling, but also a proud moment to know that we're moving the police department in the right direction and we're doing the work for the community that they expect us to do.
Right. And I know this because I saw the information that the council gets in a redacted form before the meeting. You had some support from members of the community as well who are nice enough to send in letters saying, hey, keep this guy.
Yeah. And I always appreciate, that's one of, I think, the things that I appreciate the most and that I've enjoyed the most over the 3 years is building those partnerships with stakeholders within the community so that we can work to try to better Quincy for everyone that either lives here or visits here. And so a lot of those stakeholders, and I'm not even going to try to say any names because I'll forget somebody, but they've just been great partners. I think we've done a lot of really good work, and I look forward to continuing to do that work.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that you've kind of, as much as you can, you tried to keep up some of the initiatives that former Chief Rob Copley started as well with, like, reaching out to some areas in the community, some neighborhoods with, like right before Thanksgiving, things like that. And I imagine you're still planning to do that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Those are some of the things that I look forward to every year is getting out, giving back, engaging with folks, you know, in that non-enforcement type of format. So it's always something that just warms my heart, gives our officers a good opportunity to get out there and meet and talk to folks. So, yeah, we're going to obviously continue all those.
In a way, and imagine you would know this better than I would, obviously, but in a way it also helps you in law enforcement efforts in terms of, breaking down mistrust in certain parts of town just to, say, hey, what did you see, and instead of just saying I'm not talking to you, maybe now folks will because of the level of trust that you've built with certain areas of the city.
You always hope that you build relationships that when an officer responds to somebody's house that maybe they recognize that officer from a positive interaction or a non-law enforcement interaction that they've had previously. So they know that this person is a human being just like they are. You know, I say the last time we want to meet a police officer is when we have to call them to our house at 2:00 in the morning because somebody's breaking in, right? Something bad is happening. So it's difficult, but it's something that we're committed to continue to try to do, build relationships, whether that means Grill Squad events, whether that means our food drive events, whether it's our beat meetings. It's just, you know, the opportunity for folks to come out and get to know us, let us get to know them. And hopefully when they do have that very rare opportunity to have to call the police, that they at least have a familiar face that shows up.
Yeah, exactly. Now that you've gotten the official okay, now that you're going to be around for another 3 years, are there any new incentives, new programs, new initiatives that you are now thinking, oh, I can go ahead and get started on this now?
I wouldn't say any new initiatives. You know, I say the work always continues. There's a couple of ordinance changes that we're working on, that we've been working on for some time, that I feel, in conjunction with the city attorney and the clerk's office, that will streamline some things for our folks. Namely, the big one that we've been working on quite a while is our taxicab ordinance, or what we're going to hopefully rename as the vehicle for hire ordinance. So our taxicab ordinance, or the ordinance that kind of laid out what you had to do to get a taxicab, you know, business permit and taxicab license, was very antiquated, a lot of red tape in there that to me just seemed a little ridiculous. So we've been taking a look at that. Matter of fact, we have a meeting tomorrow to try to finalize the changes we're hoping to propose to the city council and get that moving forward. Because, you know, I'm the kind of person that if you want to open a business and you want to provide a service to the city of Quincy, government should get out of your way and let you do that. We got to have certain protections because we want to protect our citizens. But the easier we can make it, the better it is for everybody. So those are the kind of things that are really, I guess, top of mind right now.
Yeah, because something like that, it was, I don't know when it was first originated, but it sounds like it was something from the 70s in terms of like a background check, in terms of a waiting period. You know, you had to investigate them before they could even get their license.
Yeah, some of that stuff is not even legal anymore. So obviously we're due for some changes. There were some other things like requiring a public meeting that you had to then notify all the other taxicab licenses owners in the city of Quincy, and I kind of said to myself and to my team, I'm like, well, we don't make a restaurant owner send out letters to all the other restaurant owners in the city of Quincy to say, can I open up this restaurant? So those are the kind of things that just, and those meetings, they cost to notify people. They take time to hold. No one ever showed up to them anyway, so they were pretty pointless. So it's getting that stuff out of the way, streamlining the process so folks can get through and they can get to work.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because Uber and Lyft, they never went through that.
Nothing at all. That was one of our points, too, is, you know, you shouldn't have to work for Uber or Lyft if you want to have a vehicle for hire business in the city of Quincy. So we're trying to gear it more towards those type of businesses.
All righty. So you think maybe in September that the council might be seeing this?
I'm hopeful. Yeah, I'm hopeful that we can, you know, in our review tomorrow, that we'll be in a place. It'll be getting the changes put together in a format for the alderman to be able to take a look, see what we've done. But yeah, I would hope within the next month we at least get the process started.
All right, very good. We're at 9:44. My guest this morning is Quincy Police Chief Adam Yates here on the talk show. We'll be back with more here after these words here on the talk show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee on WTAD. Welcome back to the talk show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, distributed by Refreshment Services Pepsi. Scott Hardy, glad to be along with you. My guest, Quincy Police Chief Adam Yates, always glad to have you here. And it must be frustrating for you because here recently, just a couple of days ago, another fire, another abandoned home. It was all boarded up. And, well, we know now that it's not just one person going around and setting all these fires, because you've made arrest in several cases, like the Doyle fire, the fire over, you know, just down the street here at the old Welcome Inn. You know, you've made arrest in those cases, even the one on South 8th Street as well.
Right.
But yet, these things happen.
These abandoned properties, abandoned houses, sometimes abandoned businesses, I mean, they just cause so many problems within our community. And, you know, there's kind of two sides of the coin, and I get that. But when you have folks that are moving in and out of these places, and the property owners just don't care, I tell people all the time, we can't arrest somebody for trespassing or really go on the property if the owner doesn't give us permission, because we don't know if the person that is there, even though the house maybe shouldn't be occupied, maybe there's some type of agreement between the owner and the person that's going in there. Those folks still have constitutional rights just like everybody else does. So, you know, but obviously when there's no water hookup, when there's no electric hookup, you know, these folks are going to do things within their structures either to keep warm or cook food or you know, if it's maybe just be smoking cigarettes or doing things like that. You know, and they're so hard to investigate because usually if something does happen, they leave. They don't necessarily call 911. So these fires cook in there for a while and they do a lot of damage and a lot of these structures aren't sound to begin with. So when you have a fire inside, there's no going in and, you know, specifically looking for evidence and trying to put things together. So, yeah, they're very difficult, very frustrating cases. We continue to investigate and we'll do what we can to deter. But I think, as you've heard in the news, the city's doing its part, too, to try to, you know, I mean, eliminate some of these dilapidated properties. It's just a mountainous problem that we're going to just have to chip away at. But hopefully we'll keep headed in the right direction.
Right. And it is a lengthy process. I know the city has gotten together with several other governmental bodies for the land bank. But progress on that, unless I haven't heard anything, progress on that in they acquiring properties is a little slow. And as you know, sitting through enough city council meetings, the process for getting something on the fix or flatten list, that's a lengthy process too.
Yeah, it's. I mean, a lot of these landlords, these owners, they don't want to be contacted. And I'm not even really sure what the mindset is behind that whole buy a house in Quincy, move out of town, or you live out of town and just leave it and let it disintegrate. But yeah, it happens a lot, and it takes a lot to get it through the process.
Yeah, it does. And I can't imagine the investigation because it's like, you know, just what you hear in, you know, in film and movies and hanging around. It's just like there's always going to be a hot spot, and you can kind of tell when that gets started and maybe figure out what the accelerant was for that. But if it's an older, dilapidated property and it's been left to burn for a while, that's almost like next to impossible to figure that out.
And if you can't go in and collect evidence because it's not safe for fire personnel, it's not safe for our investigators, you know, I'm not willing to get a firefighter or a police officer hurt because somebody didn't take care of their property. And as much as we don't want to see these things happen, we're also not going to go to the extreme of getting someone hurt to try to go collect evidence that may or may not result in someone being held accountable. So, yeah, very difficult situations.
Yeah, so then it's just a matter of, you know, the same things that you always do, just, you know, investigative work, talking with people, mm-hmm. talking with neighbors, and hoping that somebody sees something and says something.
And a lot of times it works out for us. You know, it takes usually a little bit of work, a little bit of digging, but eventually you start putting the pieces together.
Yeah, that is very good. Aren't you glad that we're not having to talk about the staffing shortage at the Quincy Police Department now like we did for several years?
I am. You know, we were just kind of going over some numbers the other day, and at one point we were down 12 officers, and that did not include the officers we had in training. So we were in a really bad spot there for a while. And we've been in a fairly good spot as of the last year or so. And you know, we are always going to lose people to resignations, retirements, folks that choose to move on. But ultimately, we just hired 5 more officers yesterday. They started at 8 o'clock yesterday morning. And it's always, I guess it motivates me to see new officers coming in because I think about my first day at the police department and how I felt and what I was looking forward to. So, you know, right now we're back to full staff. We'll get one officer back from the academy next week. We have one officer that's in the field training program right now, and then these 5 will leave for the academy the first part of September. So, you know, we continue to work through these staffing changes that come along. It's always exciting to see new officers come in, and it's always a good place when you can say that you're at least fully staffed. Again, those in training aren't doing much for us on the street immediately, but everybody has to go through that process.
Yeah. And the point is, they'll be there to do that.
They will.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it. So, but yeah, so they're going to be gone here for a little bit and, you know, get sent up to the Chicago area for training. But still, they'll be on the force here. So that is always good news to hear about that. So, yeah, just wanted to kind of bring that up because I had heard something about the fact that 5 officers were going to be in as well. So
yeah, and you know, want to commend the mayor's office. We actually were allowed to hire one more officer than we're actually allotted. because we have an upcoming retirement. So it's always good when we can get someone in ahead of the curve to replace somebody that's planning on leaving. So this is one of those situations where Mayor Moore's office was nice enough to say, yeah, go ahead, make the move now. Let's get them started in the process. And then we just, you know, we watch the budget, make sure the overtime is what it should be. And we manage it throughout the year. But yeah, it's an exciting time.
Yeah, yeah. And how helpful has it been to have the borders expanded to where you can hire and where they live? Has that helped out a lot?
I'll tell you, I haven't really seen it. I mean, it has helped. It didn't have the impact I thought it was going to have when we initially did it. I mean, we do have one or two officers that are living in Missouri. I haven't seen the influx that I had hoped that we would see as far as maybe lateral transfer officers interested in the police department from, say, Hannibal, Palmyra, Lewis County. And we do have several officers from Hannibal, Palmyra, and across the river. But many of them either live in Quincy or had lived in Quincy already when they applied with us. So, you know, hopefully as that word gets out, we'll see a little more interest. But it didn't have... I mean, I guess the influx of officers that I expected it would when we initially did it. But it's still, you know, it's a unique advantage that we offer that a lot of law enforcement agencies in the state of Illinois do not offer, in that you could live in the other state. So we're hoping people will take advantage.
Right. And I know from my own experience growing up in St. Louis County, you still have to do quality control, even if you are hiring officers from other areas. Because I know a lot of times when you're in a county with like over 90 municipalities, officers can kind of flit from one place to another,
right,
and they get hired, but not without the background checks that are needed. You guys don't do that. I mean, you go through a thorough process. Mm-hmm. They get interviewed by the commission as well, so that's right. A good thing.
Yeah, we've always had a very robust background process, and I do understand what you're saying. And as a matter of fact, I was kind of naive to that's how, and especially over in the Springfield area, that it works. And I just, you know, I've always felt that you need to very thoroughly vet everybody you're hiring, whether it be a new applicant or someone that's worked at a police department. And even in my mind, you would think that someone that works at a police department would be easier to vet, because you can go look at personnel files and disciplinary files and things like that, which we always do. So, you know, we always want to make sure that we're putting the best and the brightest out into the community to serve and protect.
Right, right. About the 2.5 minutes, 2.5, 3 minutes that we've got left, anything that you want folks in the community to know about what's going on with the department? I mean, we've got Labor Day coming up. We've got Broadway a mess, but it's now from 24th to 30th. So, just anything like that you want folks to know about.
You know, I'll just my standard. You know, school's back in session now, so the school buses are out. The kids are out. School zones. You know, please pay attention in the school zones. Stay off your cell phone. You know, abide by the speed limits. Speed limits really everywhere. Again, one of the biggest complaints I get, Mayor Moore gets, the aldermen get, is speeding. So just slow down. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to drive 45 miles an hour to get to the next red light or stop sign, right? So, you know, just be careful, be alert. You know, yeah, with all the construction that's going on in Quincy right now, things can get very confusing. So if you just give yourself a little more time to get around, pay attention to what's going on, I think everybody will be safer that way. And I do want to give a shout out to, you know, our patrol shift Saturday night handled a shooting over in the 1700 block of Broadway, and they just did a fantastic job. And we did a Facebook post on that, sent out a media release. But, you know, I actually went in Sunday night to roll call and you know, kind of spoke with the officers and listened to some of the inside baseball on what they did and what they were able to accomplish. And they just really did a fantastic job. It's always good when you have, you know, something like a shooting that occurs. Thankfully, nobody got hurt, but when that ends up in an arrest because of some really good police work that went on, those officers deserve all the credit in the world. And the entire police department, both civilian staff and the sworn officers, they do a great job. Again, very proud to be able to lead the department going forward. And it's just very happy with everything.
Well, not only making the arrest, but also finding the weapon, because a lot of times you don't get that chance.
That is, and it's a, I can't talk about it, but that's a very interesting story, and they did some great work to get that figured out. But much better we find it than some kid walking to school on Monday. And so, yeah, kudos to those officers and all the great work that they did.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's in an area where kids would have walked to school that morning.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, indeedy. So yeah, folks, and of course, I imagine your Labor Day enforcement, that's probably going to start, what, the end of the week?
Oh, they're out there right now.
Okay.
They're rocking and rolling. So, again, watch your speed, put your seatbelt on, just be safe. That's the whole point of traffic enforcement, is keeping everyone safe. So.
All righty. So that will continue through the Monday night of Labor Day as well. So, you know, extra patrols. You'll be watching for speeders, people not wearing their seatbelts.
Distracted driving,
anything else.
Anything that's causing people to be unsafe on the road, they're going to be out there taking enforcement action. I'd prefer we write no tickets at all. I'm not naive, but, you know, if we can just deter people from doing that, we'll save lives, we'll save property, and we'll keep people from getting hurt.
Exactly. Chief, it's always a pleasure, and again, congratulations on the three-year hitch now. So, you know, you know, for the next 3 years, you don't have to move or anything like that.
I'm not planning on it. So
you're
thank
not,
you, Scott. I appreciate it.
You'll be fine. All righty. Thanks so much for listening in. Stay tuned. The Ramsey Show is next here on WTAD. It's 10 o'clock.